Right now, I want you to take your Bible, if you have a copy of God's Word, and turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. And today, I want to talk to you about something that we're going to be doing as a congregation to bless the people in our neighborhoods, to pray for, to show care for, and to share the good news of Jesus with people in our communities. And I'm really excited about this. It's something that's called Bless Every Home. Now, we're going to look in Numbers chapter 6, right at the end of this chapter. And at the end of the chapter in Numbers 6, there is a blessing that God gave Aaron, the high priest over Israel, and Aaron's sons, the other priests, to speak over the people of Israel every time they came together to meet before God. And this Aaronic blessing is just a beautiful way, a beautiful pattern that God has given us for blessing one another and seeking the blessing of God. So I want to talk to you about how you can bless the people in your neighborhood. And sometimes the question comes up, well, what does it really mean to bless someone? You know, in the South and here in the Southwest as well, we have a saying that sometimes we'll say when somebody says or does something, we'll say, bless your heart. And you learn really early on that bless your heart is not a positive statement. If somebody tells you bless your heart, what that means is, I think you're sort of dumb, but there's nothing that you can do about it, so bless your heart. And once you catch on to that, you're not all that happy to hear somebody tell you bless your heart. They say bless your heart. You say, no, bless your heart. Don't bless my heart. I'm going to bless your heart. But that's not what the Bible means when it says bless, when it talks about the Lord bless you. And then sometimes we use the word bless just as a term of politeness. Sometimes we'll say bless you to someone just as a way of saying thank you or being polite to that person. Or if someone sneezes, we say God bless you. Now, the truth is, saying God bless you when somebody sneezes goes way, way back in history, all the way back to AD 590, when the plague was covering Europe. And Pope Gregory I gave an order that anytime someone sneezed, that you were to say, God bless you to that person, because they considered the sneeze to be the first sign that someone had contracted the plague. And so in the earliest days, God bless you really did mean God bless you. Most of the time we do it just as a way of being polite. So what does the Word of God mean when it says the Lord bless you? We're going to talk about that today as we look at this blessing in Scripture. We're beginning in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6. There the Bible says this, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice what God says about blessing and what blessing means. In verse 22 and in verse 23, God told Moses, hey, you make sure that Aaron the high priest and his sons, the other priest, know that they're to put this blessing on my people. They're to speak these words of blessing over them. And then at the end, he says in verse 27, so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. To bless someone is literally to put the name of God on that person, to speak God's name with that person and on to that person. When you're blessing someone from a biblical standpoint, it means asking for God to do his absolute best, to give his greatest blessings in that person's life. And God gives us the opportunity in the days to come to bless our neighbors as we pray for them. So I want to talk to you about something called Bless Every Home, and then we're going to look at this blessing, this Aaronic blessing, and talk about how we can use that as a model for us, a pattern for us, as we seek to pray God's blessing for our neighbors. We're asking every member of Quail Springs Baptist Church to participate in Bless Every Home. It's very simple. It's a simple way for you to pray for the people in your neighborhood by name, day by day. And here's how it works. First of all, if you'll just go to the website, qsbc.org/bless. If you go to qsbc.org/bless, that'll get things started for you to be enrolled in Bless Every Home. Now, here's what they're going to ask you. They're going to ask you for your name. They're going to ask you for your address. And then they're going to ask you for your email address. And then they're also going to ask you how many people in your neighborhood do you want to pray for? How many of your neighbors do you want to pray for? You can pray for 5 or for 10 or for 40, how many ever you want to pray for. And you tell them how many people in your neighborhood you want to pray for. And then they're also going to ask you how many days a week do you want to pray for people in your neighborhood. You can get an email reminder 7 days a week or 5 days a week or 1 day a week or anything in between, whatever you'd like to do there. But it will ask you those questions. And then after you've signed up, you'll start receiving every day an email from Bless Every Home. And on that email, it will show you how you can pray for, how you can care for, and how you can share with the people in your neighborhood. It will give you, and in fact, I looked at mine this morning, even before I came in to speak to you, and I've got an email on my phone. It comes every morning before I wake up, and it just gives me the names and addresses of 5 people in my neighborhood. Along with that, it gives me a scripture to pray over them, some prayer prompts to pray for them, and it just helps me to keep up with my prayers. And then after I prayed for the people that are on my list for that day, I just push a button and it says, I prayed for these people. And that just helps me keep up with the people who have been prayed for. And it gives me that information day by day as I move along. And so I want you to be a part of that. In fact, we're asking and we're praying that by the end of May, at least 500 people from Quail Springs will have signed up to be part of Bless Every Home. I've been doing this for years. I did this before I came to Quail Springs, and I'm doing this now as well. And I've just learned that when I pray for my neighbors by name, it really begins to put them on my heart, and it opens up opportunities to share with them, to get to know them, and just to understand who they are and to pray for them. So we're going to talk about, from this Aaronic blessing, 3 simple ways you can pray for God to bless your neighbors. First of all, the Bible shows us in this blessing that you can pray for God to bless your neighbors with His safety. You can pray for God to bless your neighbors with His safety. Now look at the first part of the blessing. If you'll notice, verses 24, 25, and 26 of our text contain 3 parts of this blessing. And it's really beautiful in the original language of Scripture. If you go back to the Hebrew, you'll see that God did everything that you can imagine to make these verses, to make this blessing memorable and beautiful. There's a great symmetry to it. For example, in the original language of Scripture, verse 24, the first part of the blessing, is 3 words in Hebrew. Verse 25, the second part, is 5 words. Verse 26 is 7 words. It just goes up. That's how many words. And then at the level of syllables, the first blessing is 12 syllables. The second blessing is 14 syllables. The third blessing is 16 syllables. If you go all the way down to the letters, the first blessing is 15 letters in Hebrew. The second blessing, 20 letters. The third blessing, 25 letters. None of that is by accident. All of that is just God making this blessing beautiful and memorable. And then there's a theological significance in this blessing, even in the way that it's structured. You notice that there are 3 parts of the blessing, and we understand that that corresponds to the 3 members of the Trinity. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's the protective power of God the Father. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. That's the shining face of God the Son. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the indwelling peace of the Holy Spirit. We see that in this blessing. Then one other thing, and then I'll get into my point. I'm just so excited when I think about these things because it's just so beautiful. In the original language, this blessing has 15 words. The name of the Lord, Yahweh, appears 3 times. And then there are 12 remaining words. And so there's the name of the Lord three times, and then 12 remaining words representing the 12 tribes of Israel. None of that is by accident, and all of that just shows the beauty of this blessing. So let's look again at the first part of this blessing. As we're commanded to pray for our neighbors for safety, the Lord bless you and keep you. We're praying for God to keep our neighbors. Now, the word keep is a word that means to guard. It means to watch over. It means to protect. It means to keep safe. And remember, when Aaron and his sons were speaking these blessings over the people of Israel, they were not yet living in the promised land. They weren't in Israel itself. At this time, they were wandering around in the wilderness. So there were all kinds of dangers that God's people faced every day. They faced wild animals in the wilderness. They faced treacherous terrain. They faced enemies who would come and attack them. They faced diseases and all kinds of dangers. And so in the midst of that, God told his priest, make sure you pray that the Lord would bless and keep my people. We need to pray for our neighbors and for one another that God would keep us, that God would grant his safety to the people around us. You know, there's a beautiful psalm that really echoes the same thing that's here in Numbers chapter 6. If you look in your Bible in Psalm 121, there the Bible talks about God's ability to keep and to protect. The Bible says in Psalm 121 verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. That's the same word for protect. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you. There it is again. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep or protect or keep safe. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so we're praying for those around us to experience God's protection, God's safekeeping, and God's safety. You know, one of the groups of people we really need to be praying for in these days are people who are on the front lines in healthcare, who are working in the ICUs, in the emergency rooms, and in other places where they are taking care of those who are suffering today, from those who are suffering from COVID-19, and then people who are going through other types of illness during this season. I want to share with you the story of one of our own folks here at Quail Springs. Her name is Lauren, and she's just going to share how God is working in her life as she stands on the front lines in healthcare during this season.
I remember walking into work for the first time and hearing that I would be working in the COVID ICU. I walked up to the unit that morning just thinking to myself, things are gonna look a lot different now. It has finally hit home. And it was very surreal. I definitely will not forget that day.
Hi, I'm Lauren Forgety. I am a registered nurse and currently working in one of our hospital's COVID-19 ICUs. When this first started and it hit home for us here in Oklahoma, our hospital were requesting staff on a volunteer basis to work in this COVID ICU. And so I decided to do that. I have wanted to be there as much as I can and to help in whatever way that was needed. I know that that is only from the Lord, that he kind of has created this renewed energy and strength to just face the unknown of this disease and what patient care looks like. I know that that's him and how he's been working through me personally in my work. Being in the hospital, we are consistently seeing progress. From week one to now, there have been improvements in processes and protocols and patient care that is encouraging for me and for the rest of us. So the community and the church have supported healthcare workers in many ways. For something personally that I've experienced is the faithfulness of prayer, that our church has been people of prayer. That is huge. I have been overwhelmed by the impact that that's made on my life personally, by the church checking in on me or others and knowing that you're being prayed for faithfully and consistently. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord himself is an everlasting rock. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. I just feel like from the start of this, the Lord used that passage to bring peace to my mind and to encourage others with that, because in a time that seems so chaotic, we need to be reminded that our peace is only found in the Lord.
Wow, I am so thankful for Lauren, and I know there are many others like her in our Quail Springs family who are taking care of people and putting themselves at risk in many ways so that they can provide the health care people need. And so as we're praying for our neighbors, let's pray for one another's safety, that God would keep our neighbors physically safe, that he would keep them away from illness and injury. But then there's other types of safety and safekeeping we need to pray for. Pray for God to protect the finances and the economic well-being of your neighbors. Pray for God to protect their spirits and to protect their hearts and their minds from discouragement and depression during this season. And so as you get those names, five names for five neighbors each day, whether you're walking through your community or driving down your street or sitting at home looking at those names, one of the things to pray for is that God would bless them with his safety. But then there's a second part of this blessing that we see in Numbers chapter 6. Number two, you can pray for God to bless your neighbors with his goodness. Pray for God to bless your neighbors with his goodness. Now look in verse 25 of Numbers chapter 6. The Bible says, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." When the Bible talks about the face of the Lord shining upon someone, for someone's face to shine upon someone meant for someone to pay attention. When someone's face was shining on their child, that means they were looking at their child, they were watching their child. And so for the Lord to shine his face upon us means he's paying attention to us. And notice what the Bible says. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. One of the things you can pray for is for God to be gracious to the people around you. The word gracious there means God showing undeserved goodness to people. God pouring out blessings, pouring out goodness on people. And you may hear that and say, well, you know what? My neighbors don't deserve God's goodness. You may have a neighbor who's hard to live beside of, and he's always giving you a hard time. And anytime you're mowing your grass and you go 1 inch over on his lawn, he's out there yelling at you about that. Listen, that's the kind of person who most needs God's goodness. The truth is, none of us deserve God's grace. That's why it's called grace. And yet the Word of God says that God pours out his goodness not just on nice people, but on nasty people. Not just on people who are doing the things they ought to do, but people who are living lives that God is not pleased with, and yet he shows his goodness to them because he is gracious to them. Jesus talks about the same thing in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, he talks about the same thing. He says this in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain," which by the way, for him, rain would have been a blessing. "He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Jesus says, God shows goodness to people who are just and righteous and people who are decidedly unrighteous. He shows goodness to people who are good and people who are bad. And we may ask the question, why? I mean, why would God be good to someone who is bad? Why would God be good to someone who doesn't even believe in God or who rejects God or who even curses God? Why would God be good to a person like that? Well, the book of Romans gives us a very simple answer to that question in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says this. It says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing," look at this, "not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance." Why is God good even to people who reject him and sin against him? Because his kindness, his goodness is intended to reach their hearts and to turn their hearts to repentance. So whoever your neighbors are, if your neighbors are difficult or if your neighbors are sweet, whoever they are, pray that God would show his goodness to them. And not only that he would show his goodness, but that they would realize that it's God who's being good to them. I have a friend who told me about a time in his life when he was traveling a lot for business. And at that time, he was a father with young kids at home. And he said, "You know, I felt guilty about being away so much." And he said, "So when I was on my way back, when I was flying back home, I would stop in the airport shop and I would get toys for my kids. I'd get a toy car or truck for my son, or I'd get a little doll or something for my daughter." And he said, "And I'd come home and I'd have those gifts in my pockets waiting for them. And I'd come through the front door and they'd come and hug me and say, 'Oh, Daddy, we're so glad to see you home.' And then I'd hug them and kiss them. And then I'd give them those gifts." He said, after a while, his kids started expecting those gifts. And he said, in fact, after a while, he said, I came home one day and they didn't hug me or kiss me or anything. He said, they were frisking me. They were patting me down, trying to find the gifts. And he said, and eventually they were saying things to me like, "Hey, Dad, when are you going to go on another trip?" He said, they wanted me to leave. And he said, something happened. They got their eyes on the blessing and they forgot about the blesser. Well, a lot of times we do that. God blesses us, and we get so tied up in the blessings that we miss the blesser. Now, believers can do that. It's possible for us as born-again believers to do that, but it is natural and normal for people who don't know the Lord to experience his blessings and yet to ignore the blesser. So as you're praying for God to bless your neighbors with his goodness, one of the things to pray for is, "God, be good to my neighbor and help them to know it's you. Lord, be good to my neighbor and help me to show them and to tell them that it's you who is being good to them." That's one of the things that God often does to work in someone's heart to bring that person to know Jesus Christ. And so pray for your neighbor's safety. Pray for God to show your neighbors his goodness. But then thirdly, the Bible says you can pray for God to bless your neighbors with his peace. Now we're moving along in this blessing and we come to the third part of the blessing. The Bible says, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now notice that phrase. The countenance is the facial expression. It's not just the face, it's the expression on the face. And when the Bible talks about the Lord lifting up his countenance, well, an upward lifted countenance is a smiling face. And so it says, "Lord, I'm praying that you will lift up your countenance, that you will smile upon this person, and as you do, that you'll give that person peace." Listen, peace, that's the Hebrew word shalom. Peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of the smile of God in our lives. Peace is what happens when we know that things are right between us and the God who made us. Some people think that if there's just a cease in hostilities, that that's peace. A ceasefire is not necessarily peace. A ceasefire may just mean that the other guy's reloading and getting ready to start shooting again. But peace is what happens when the smile of God is ruling and reigning in your heart. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I was in a meeting not too long ago, maybe about 18 or 20 of us, and someone was making a presentation. And as this guy was making a presentation, I didn't know him, but he was making his presentation, and about a third of the way through, he stopped and he looked at me personally and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Nothing's wrong." He said, "Well, you've got a bad face." And I said, "It's just the face that God gave me. I don't know." And so from there on, the rest of that meeting, as he was presenting, I tried to smile and everything. After the meeting was over, a very nice lady from California came up to me and she said, "You know, you may have an angry resting face." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, I said, "What do you mean I have an angry?" I didn't say that. But I don't want to have an angry resting face. And so ever since that time, when I'm just sitting and listening to someone, I try to make sure that my countenance is lifted up because I don't want to disturb someone's peace. Well, if the face of one person can cause someone not to have peace, then certainly when God is frowning on us, or when we feel like God is frowning on us, when he gives us a bad face, then it's going to take the peace away from our hearts. So we can pray that God would lift up his countenance on our neighbors, that he would smile on our neighbors and give them peace. And we know ultimately that the way we experience God's peace is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We can pray that God would give our neighbors peace and bless them with peace, and then look for opportunities to pray for that person to come to know Jesus, the Prince of Peace, if they don't know him, and to share with your neighbor the goodness of Jesus and the peace that he gives. And so it's just really simple. You go to qsbc.org/bless, and that gets things started so that you can begin praying by name every day for your neighbors, or once a week, or however you want to do it. But just go to that website, and you can begin to pray that way for your neighbors. Now, I know this. The power is not in this program. The power is in praying. But this program can really help you to keep up with your praying and to pray meaningfully. And there's great power in that. My friend Ed told me a story about something that happened in his life. He began doing Bless Every Home several years ago, and his church was involved with it, and he got involved with it. And so he signed up, and every day he'd get that email, and he'd get five names of his neighbors, and he'd be out walking his dog, and he would pray for his neighbors by name. He said, "As I was out walking," he said, "it was amazing. Once I started praying for my neighbors, I started seeing my neighbors on a more regular basis." He said, "It was like the Lord just brought them across my path more and more as I was praying for them." He said, "So I'd be out walking my dog, and my neighbor would see me, and we'd say hello. And then I'd say to them, 'Hey, I've been praying for you.'" He said, "They never failed to respond positively when he said that." He would say, "I'm praying for you." And they'd say, "Well, great." And he'd say, "Well, how can I pray for you?" And they might share something. And then he'd say, "You know, I'm doing this thing. I'm praying for my neighbors, everybody in our neighborhood, five people a day." And he said, "And my church is involved in doing this." He said it was a great way to enter into a spiritual conversation with his neighbors, and God used it in his life. And I promise you, God will use it in your life as well. The power is in the prayer, and we can pray for God to bless our neighbors, for God to bless them with his safety, for God to bless them with his goodness and grace, and then through Jesus Christ, for God to bless them with his peace. I want to join together right now with you as we pray and just ask for God to bless our community and our neighbors in these days. Join with me as we pray. Lord God, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we realize that we live where we live and we are where we are, not by accident, but by your appointment. You put us where we are, even if we don't love our neighborhood. You put us there for this season so that we can make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Lord, help us to pray for our neighbors. Help us to care for them and to show them your goodness and your love. Help us, Lord, to share with them the good news of Jesus and how much you love them. God, I pray that you would just give us a passion and a burden to pray for the people around us so that they would come to know Jesus if they don't know him and follow you and love you and experience your blessing. Now, Father, I pray for those who are watching and listening right now who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Lord, I thank you that you came that we might have peace. And so, Lord, I pray for that one who right now needs to call on the name of Jesus to receive through him your peace. Right now, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, it's a time that you can call out on the name of the Lord Jesus if you've never trusted him. And he promises that today, if you call on him, he will save you. You can pray this way. You just pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's son. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Jesus, right now I turn from my sin and I trust in you to save me. Give me your gift of eternal life, Jesus. Save me right now and I will follow you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. For I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen." I want to thank you for joining us today. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me, the next thing you need to do is to let someone know. There's a telephone number on your screen that you can call. If you call, someone will answer. Someone is waiting, and all you have to do is say, "I prayed that prayer," or "I need you to pray with me." They're waiting to talk to you. There's also a number that you can text. If you'll just text your first name, that will get things started so that someone can follow up and help you take your next steps with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for joining us today. I look forward to the day that we see one another face to face. That day is getting closer and closer every day. No matter when that day comes, we know we're getting closer to it. And so we praise the Lord for that. But until then, thank you for joining us today. You be safe and keep well. Thank you for praying for me, and know that we're praying for you. God bless you.